Attention Christians! Finally, there's a new worship CD that will really fit your lifestyle. It's Worship One Half, with all your favorite worship songs and only half the commitment. When other worship songs are so tedious, this collection can be truly enjoyed at your leisure. With new arrangements to hit songs like,
Lord, I give you a part of my heart. I surrender some. I surrender some.
It's worship with a comfort zone.
Your son, what I want. Your son, what I've always needed. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Some of life is for you, some of it is for me. You are welcome later. See, he said, can the kingdom of God? I'm an okay Christian. It's who I am.
Finally, you can enjoy the sounds of worship and keep your life too.
Love the Lord your God with some of your heart. Soul with some of your mind, with some of your strength.
With these beautiful favorites, you can feel spiritual without actually being spiritual. It's Worship One Half, half committed devotion. Call now and get the Ethnic Sounds of Idol Worship CD, half off, all yours for just $19.95. Now you can focus partly on the Lord while staying focused on you too. Call with your credit card ready. No further commitment required. Sorry, no rush delivery available.
Man, wasn't worship this morning amazing?
You're joking, right?
No, it was really? Awesome.
Oh, no, it was not.
What was wrong?
Well, for one thing, this is your house. You played it way too fast. And then Russell was singing so off key that I could not focus on what I needed to be singing. And Cameron, bless her heart, she kept putting the wrong slides up there. And wasn't it cold in here this morning? It was cold out. My teeth was chattering.
I didn't.
And one more thing. It is way past St. Patrick's Day, so that green light has got to go. It's Easter.
Man, I didn't notice Russell.
So, yeah, no, I don't think I've got anything. Out of service.
Wow. Man, I did. I thought the congregation was engaged, and I mean, my mind was just like, yes. I mean, I expected Brother Hewitt to even run around the church at one point. I didn't realize all those. Isn't it amazing that sometimes we leave church and we think, oh, that was such a great service. And then other times we leave and we criticize every single thing about it. Come on. We're just as real as you. Sometimes we have knockdown dragouts before church on Sunday morning.
We do not.
And we'll talk a little bit about that as we get involved. But we really, Pastor asked us several months ago, we've had all kinds of delays here, but to talk about worship. And as much as we want to talk about corporate worship tonight, because there is a biblical foundation and a scriptural command for corporate worship. Amen?
Yeah.
And again, we'll back that up here in just a little bit. But we also have to understand that how I perceived worship this morning and how she perceived, supposedly, we were joking.
Yeah.
Or she was joking. Has to do with how I prepare my heart in coming to church.
Good.
It's all about what goes on here. It's what's exhibited in my worship. So the first thing that we have to understand about corporate worship is that it's not about how pretty we sing or don't sing. It's not about how good we look singing it, how many times we repeat the song, if we sing hymns or if we sing modern worship songs, but it's all about our heart as we do those things. Some of you were in Wednesday night teaching, and I've said this so many times, everything that Jesus confronted when he was on earth had to do with the heart. And worship is all about the heart. It is not about, and I loved your testimony, Teresa, about how that woman came in this morning, but her heart was in the right place. No matter how she looked, it doesn't matter. All that other stuff doesn't matter. It's about our heart. So worship is an act and an attitude of wholeheartedly giving ourselves to God in our spirit, in our soul, and in our body. Worship is simply the expression of our love for God, which Jesus said should involve all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. So if you've got your Bible or your Bible app, go with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. There'll be some times in here, and this is not won't be a lengthy lesson, I don't think, but you all are more than welcome to chime in and give us your comments. Sometimes we'll ask for them, and sometimes you should feel free to jump in there. But Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 is where we'll start. And it said, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, in contrast to what the gentleman sang on the video prior to love the Lord your God with part of your heart, with part of your mind. That's not what he said. He said, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But that's not where he stopped. We often quote that scripture and we stop there. Anybody ever done that? Oh, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. I've done that. I've stopped there. That's not where it ends. He says, this is the first commandment. Man, that puts some extra emphasis on that. This is the first commandment. Now, go over a couple books to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Renewing of your? One more time, renewing of your? How we come into worship is renewing of our mind. So that we may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So all of you would agree that worship is not 30 minutes of singing and then followed by a sermon. In both the Old and the New Testaments, we find that worship was a first priority. Worship is not a one-way street. It is a two-way communication between believers, that's you, and God, not just about you. Real worship provides opportunities for God and his people to express their love for each other. So let's be clear, though. We can and we should worship in our alone time. But God commands us together in corporate worship for the upholding and upbuilding of the body of Christ.
How many of you do, you know, you have your own worship time and it's just, you know, just you and God alone, and it can be an amazing time. Some of the best worship, personal worship in my life has just been between me and God and nobody else.
Don't you think you have to have that, the alone time worship, before you can have corporate worship?
Absolutely. I've always felt that it was important. How you and I are Monday through Saturday is revealed on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How we live Monday through Friday and what our time with God is Monday through Saturday, is revealed on Sunday morning. It shouldn't be, our jobs or the worship team's jobs to be cheerleaders to pump you up and get you ready.
Right.
We should already be ready. That's really what we're getting at. There is, like I said, there's, yes, that alone time, that personal time is absolutely important. But let me tell you what, you can relate with me, I'm sure, on this as well. There is nothing I enjoy any better than getting together with my church family and worshiping God.
Right.
There is a reason that he says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, even as some have. He says, but also exhort or encourage one another, even the more as you see the day approaching. Sadly, we see that less. We're not, the church as a whole is not doing what Scripture commands us to do. Assemble more, gather more, encourage more, exhort more. We're doing it less. And yes, it's extremely important. Very important. Let's talk about music for just a second, okay? We can't, especially us as Pentecostals, we can't talk about worship unless we talk about music, right? You can like or dislike a style of music, okay? We all have our preferences, right? Some would be perfectly content singing out of a hymn every Sunday. Some would be perfectly content if we never sang out of one again. Some are good with a mix. We all have our preferences. That's perfectly fine. But here's the point. Music alone divides. Listen to me. Music divides, but worship unites. Music divides, but worship unites.
Good.
If I don't like singing out of the hymn, it doesn't really matter, because if my heart is right where it needs to be with God, I can sing out of that and I can give God all the glory and praise and I can experience true worship. Or if I don't like some of the newer modern Christian music that's out there, if I listen to the lyrics and my heart is right, I can worship with that too. So remember, music divides, but worship unites. You all know when we are in one mind and one accord, it's difficult, but it's been done. One mind and one accord, worship unites. This may be the shortest thing that I discuss tonight about music and worship, but it could be the most important. If we say, oh, the music was too loud, like Cammie did earlier, I didn't like the style of music, that is divisive, and we miss the true meaning of worship entirely. However, if we focus on worship, if we focus on the attitude of our heart and our mind in honoring the Lord from our lips, that is what unites the body, and you experience His presence and a move of the Spirit. Scripture is very plain that on the day of Pentecost, they weren't divided. I don't know what they sang. I don't know what was said. But Scripture says they were in one mind and in one accord. And then what happened? There's a responsibility that falls on each and every one of us alone. In unity, we accomplish this. But only when our individuality focuses on the true meaning of worship can this be accomplished corporately, as in the day of Pentecost. They come prepared, mentally, in their heart. They were ready. So as they come singly, they were united, and the Spirit fell that day.
I've always said that if you can't worship together here, you're never going to be able to worship with me in heaven. Right? So it's definitely about the heart. Is worship free? What do you think? Anybody? Everybody? Is worship free? Well, it shouldn't be. Worship must cost us something, or it's meaningless.
What do you mean by that?
So true worship involves a sacrifice. The act of offering something meaningful and valuable. In Hebrews 13 and 15, it says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So in the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed. But today, we offer our hearts. Our sacrifice is our praise to Him. Only He is exalted and praised. We must worship in spirit and truth. You hear that a lot, but what does that mean? To worship Him in spirit and truth. John 4:23-24, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth.
So spirit and truth.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What is that?
What's your thoughts on that? What's your thoughts on spirit and truth? So purity of heart, yeah.
Just gonna say it's all in vain if it's not in truth.
Right.
Because if it's not true, it's a lie, right?
Yeah.
Worship can never be a performance. You know, there's a lot of entertaining that goes on today. A lot of lights and fog and don't get me wrong, I can worship with them just the same, but it's not all about that. It's not entertainment. It's not a performance. Something you're pretending to or putting on. It's got to be an overflow of your heart. One in spirit and truth. That's how we get personal with God and we draw close to Him. God, listen to me. So God is not moved or impressed with our worship until our hearts are moved and impressed by Him. I will if I don't cry. You guys scare me, I think. Y'all scare me when I'm not scared of nothing. No, not really. God is not moved or impressed. God's not moved or impressed with our worship until our hearts are moved and impressed by Him. Matthew 15:8 says, these people, they draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, how many times have we sang a song and we have no idea what we just sang? All the time. We aren't focused on what we're singing. We're more focused about, is my chicken going to burn at home? Or did I forget to turn my curling iron off? Or what am I going to do the rest of the day? I've got to get this done and this done. It's not about what we're singing.
Yeah, absolutely. Cameron put up on the screen, Lord, I give you my heart. That song. No, this is not in our notes. You find it, babe? Lord, I give you my heart. All right, no problem. while she's looking for that, I don't think that statement can be emphasized enough. God is not moved or impressed with our worship until our hearts are moved and impressed by Him. And that is so good. And that's hard for, and I even confessed to the worship team in practice a while ago. I'm such a perfectionist. I want things to be just as perfect as we can get it. You know what I mean? Some of you get it. Some of you get it. Some of you don't. Some of you get it. Kyle gets it. Yeah. We want it to be, and I'll be honest, I've been guilty of wanting it to be so on that I've totally missed that. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. I can honestly say that there have been times, maybe you have too, that you have went through an entire worship service singing the songs, and by the afternoon you don't even remember what songs were sung. Because we do it out of habit. I've done it out of habit. My heart wasn't where it needed to be. Listen, Jesus criticized the religious worship in his day, in that scripture that she read, Matthew 15, chapter 8. He says, they draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips. Man, think about that scripture. But he says, but their heart is far from me. I've been guilty of that. I can say all the right words. I can sing it, but my heart's not been there. So we have to be prepared for worship. Shouldn't come to church tired.
Really?
We shouldn't come to church tired. We do, but we shouldn't.
Is that possible?
It is possible. We have to be ready to be a worshiper. We have to have our mind and our heart awake. Church doesn't start till 10:30 on Sunday morning. Most of us have to be at work at least by 8 Monday through Friday. Not saying that you're not sleepy when you go to work. Right. I've been there, especially Mondays, right? Especially Mondays. So by 10:30, we should be like the Energizer Bunny ready to go.
Yeah.
Should is the key word there. But we have to be ready. We have to ask God for a personal cleansing, just like the laver in the temple before worship. We have to become a vessel for the Holy Spirit to use and flow through. Make sure that your heart is pure before God. Brother Ronnie commented, in spirit and in truth, our heart has to be pure before God. If you get in an argument with your spouse, if you yelled at your kids, if you're distracted by a phone call or a text before service, sit in your car until you get it worked out and your attitude straightened out. So that
you
doesn't
can mean, though, you can sit out there the entire service. I mean, it's like one of those quick prayers and then get in here.
He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Listen, Sundays are not about you, and they're not about me.
Right. So true.
They're just not. Mm-hmm. They are our day of rest, but they're our day of rest to honor him.
Yeah.
He deserves all the glory, mm-hmm. all the honor, and all the praise. And when we don't give him that, we're the ones that are not only in the wrong, but we're the ones that don't get the benefit of it. Mm-hmm. When our heart is prepared, our mind is ready, God gives us the blessing.
Yeah.
We honor him, but he gives it to us.
Well, I don't want to sound redundant, but you know, corporate worship is a gathering or assembling of God's people by his grace. It's by his grace that we're here. It's for his glory that we're here. And that the results are for whose good? It's for our good. How great is that? For some people, worship is a warm-up session for the sermon. For others, it's a me and Jesus moment. More than an activity to be performed, corporate worship is an identity to be lived. Probably my most favorite sentence in this entire lesson is this. We don't go to church to worship. We worship because we are the church. Let me say that again. We don't go to church to worship, but we worship because we are the church.
Yeah.
How great is that? Corporate worship is like a family meal. It's different from eating by yourself.
Yes.
Creating an environment by the preparation of our heart and our mind in which we experience the presence of a gathered church, not just those up front. It's crucial to be corporate aspects of worship. Any corporate worship service that elevates entertainment over engagement fails to involve the gathered church in the work and witness of worship. The real action is happening in the hearts of those in the pews, not those on the platform.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to give an example, and then if you all have an example, I have somebody give an example before. There's been several of us that have talked about this before, but I was a teenager when we were in the church on Tulsa Street. And I remember a Sunday morning that we had come in, gathered for worship. That was, if I recall right, it seems like we started with a song and then we went into Sunday school classes, if I remember correctly. But anyway, we started with a song and we never went into Sunday school that morning. For 2 hours, We just sang and we worshiped. There was an amazing atmosphere. There was truly a one mind, one accord, and God did an amazing work in so many hearts and so many. Have you ever been in a service like that? And I know we've had some amazing services here, but have you ever been in a service where it just feels like everybody's on the same page? Anybody want to share an experience like that? You know some, you just don't want to share them? Yeah.
Of course, I've gone to Pentecostal churches of God, and I've also gone to, churches.
Mm-hmm.
And the worship is just awesome because, they all get together and they do what God wills them to do. And it doesn't matter about the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel that time is supposed to be taken away. You're supposed to have time with God and the people of the church. That's why you don't have a clock. Because when you have a clock, then it's automatic. Oh, okay, I only have an hour to get all this through. But why are you rushing when God may want you to do something to help somebody else or help the whole entire congregation?
Yeah.
I mean, there's times I haven't gotten home on an evening service till like 2:00 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we started like around 7:00.
Yeah.
So, it's up to you. What do you want to put into and yes, I can say that there are times that I do hold back, and I shouldn't, because I'm afraid of what people think about how I worship.
Yeah.
When I shouldn't be thinking about how others worship, what they think. I should think about how God wants me to be used.
Another example I remember is a time I was at a Promise Keepers conference, and there were thousands of men there, and everybody seemed to have their heart and their mind. They had come prepared, and the worship was amazing, not because the music was good. It wasn't amazing because the music was good. It wasn't amazing because there were several thousand men there. It was amazing because our hearts were where they were supposed to be. And God honored that. So let me be really blunt and honest here for just a second as we come to the conclusion of this. You remember when I did the class on tongues interpretation, I said anything that draws more attention to us versus Him is wrong. Okay? I'm going to reiterate that through worship. Any worship service that draws more attention to the music, to the style, to the setting, or the environment, and not Him, other than unifying our hearts by submitting to Scripture and glorifying God, is a perfect example of Matthew 15 and 8 when He says their hearts are far from me.
Right.
That should not be the primary focus. There should not be more attention on that versus the most attention should be right here. A meal enjoyed alone or worship enjoyed by yourself can accommodate our individual preferences, but it cannot replace that same sense of joy, community, love, and connection that comes from the gathering of believers. Macy mentioned it when she was talking in her testimony about a year ago. This coming Sunday, Easter Sunday, I remember where we were at last year, Easter Sunday. Cars in the parking lot. Yeah. And it was cold and windy. And we did our best. We did our best. But oh my goodness. I am so thankful. So thankful that this year on Easter Sunday, hey, we can gather together as believers. You all know. I've heard some of you talk about it. That absence of not being with our church family is, it just can be pretty crummy. It's rough. Yeah, it's rough. It can get depressing. There's a reason that Jesus said, hey, you need to be with other people. You need to be with your fellow church family. You need to assemble. You have to. And there is multitudes of churches, multitudes of people that have now used COVID as an excuse to never go back to God's house. And it's completely unbiblical.
Right. Totally.
Brother, you reminded me of my famous saying this morning in his message. And it's still, and it rings true with this as well. No matter what's going on out in the world, whatever God's word says is the truth, whether I like it or whether I don't. And if I don't like it, I have to assume I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because God's word is always right.
Right.
So, will the worship, will the music always be to our liking? Probably not. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And God has blessed us with a church, with people like you who prepare a table where we can gather, where we can be nourished, rejuvenated, and sustained, so that we act on our worship. So it's important for us as the church to show up and dig in.
Right.
That's our job. Yeah. Hey, Monday through Saturday, it's your responsibility to have your relationship with God to a point to where on Sunday morning, you can come with your church family and we can dig in.
Right.
And we can enjoy God's presence together. Anybody have any final comments, thoughts? Yes, sir.
I was thinking about a worship experience a few years ago from a church camp, and anybody's been to church camp, you know, there's saints in the day, and the big thing is the tabernacle, not the building. But we had a section where we were playing basketball, and then we went in, and we could go in, and I think there had been some time how people were going up. So we came out from the gym and just our basketball shorts. We've been to BCG camp, you know, that's top for a different day. But we came in there for our basketball.
If you think that the environment and how comfortable you are and how comfy the pews are and the temperature is so important, get on our church or our organization's website and look at churches in Indonesia and in Africa where they've got mud up to their knees and the Spirit of God is poured out like you would not believe. And yet we can come to church in our very best. Cushioned pews. It's not raining on us. We're not in mud up to our knees. 99% of us wouldn't come if that's how we had to come to church.
True.
But they do. So it's not about the environment. It's about their heart. Mm-hmm. It's about our heart. So I challenge you this week. Monday. Yep, you're right. You're right. Right there. I challenge you this week. Monday through Saturday. Make your personal time with God. Because Sunday is our Super Bowl Sunday for the church. I always like to call Easter our Super Bowl Sunday. This is, we have climaxed to this point. This is where we're at. Brother Hugh did a great job laying the foundation for Easter this morning. And he said the pastor's going to bring him up out of the grave on Sunday. So be ready for that. Anybody else? Stand with me if you would then. Father, we love you. We thank you for the wonderful privilege it is to have been in your house today. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, for you truly deserve it. God, I pray, God, that you will keep on each of our hearts, God, and our minds this week, God, of what this last week led up to you. And remind us, God, that you shed your blood for the remission of our sins, but you didn't just stay in the grave, that you arose. And God, I pray that you will just challenge us, keep us before the cross this week, God, and bring us back safely Wednesday night, and then again Sunday. Be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night.